in New York, we lived in a loft, and there was folks that lived next to us who were a little unusual, but they would play ping pong and scream at each other while they were watching Jeopardy.
Wait a minute. Is this what your parents told you they were doing? They're playing ping pong, honey.
This was in Brooklyn, and it was the loft next to us, and you'd hear this.
Was it the headboard banging against the wall? Like, come on, people.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Gen X Stories, a podcast about how the so-called lost generation found itself. We are your hosts, Eve, Courtney, Lori, and Chris. On today's episode, we're going to do a fun one. We're talking all about the games and toys of our youth. The ones we loved, the ones that creeped us out maybe a little bit, and the ones that we might have begged our parents for, and what we play now, because I know y'all have got toys. All right, on with the show. Hi, guys.
Hey, Eve.
Hi, Eve.
Also must be noted that Courtney traveled to Florida and took her mic again. It's like y'all are like experts. And she's got pillows everywhere to try and dampen the sound.
She's being resourceful. That's fantastic.
You're MacGyvering. I am MacGyvering this shit. So we've talked about doing this for a long time, and I'm really fascinated because I'm sure that there's some difference between girl toys and boy toys, but maybe there's not. We'll start with Chris, because you said something.
I think I just cleared my throat.
You did, but I just...
So the noise first.
Goes. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
You harumphed.
Childhood favorite toys. What was your go-to toy at different ages?
Well, I might have mentioned this before. I was lucky enough that my grandmother worked at Marshall Fields in Chicago in the toy department.
You did never said that.
Oh, well, I'm saying it now. And if people are not from Chicago, Marshall Field was, in the time, was sort of the flagship fancy store that you go, a place that you could go and have tea. So she worked down there. So we would get some bitchin' toys from her.
Yeah.
Hold up. Did you just say bitchin'?
I did. The one that I remember that was really cool, we got this sort of replica of a cockpit. It was like a Pan Am plane cockpit, and it had two little controls on it. And I thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. And then other things, corgi cars are really cool. And you're not getting these at Toys R Us. It was like we would go through sort of the normal Christmas kind of thing with my parents on Christmas morning. And I mentioned this before, it took me until I was like 12 to realize that I had three sets of grandparents, and that wasn't normal. Then my grandfather and his wife, my step-grandmother, would come over, and she was the Virginia. She was the one that worked downtown. So it was always like, holy shit, what did she bring us this time? That was the thing that we were given that was way above and beyond it, and at the edge of being spoiled. That stuff was kind of cool. I want to circle back to, at some point, the lack of oversight in development of these toys and the fact that they were incredibly dangerous.
Danger, okay.
And very often they were not used as intended.
Well, we already know that you nailed your Evel Knievel to the tree.
Right. And that wasn't because...
But they can't stop that.
No, we can talk about this. I'm interested from a female point of perspective, because there were certain toys that came out that were marketed, and you're like, this is going to be the best goddamn thing I've ever had in my life as an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old. This is going to literally change my life. And then you realize it's a one note thing.
Yeah.
It's like sort of the bazooka gum of toys, and that it loses its flavor.
Ten seconds.
About an hour, you're like, this is lame. There's one goddamn thing. And so let's sort of reverse engineer it and figure out how we can jam this thing into there and make something really cool out of it. So, I mean, we did a lot of that kind of stuff. Like,
oh, this bet. Is
yeah. Let's jam this into there and blow it up and see what happens.
I have to share with you, Chris. So when we talked about marketing, we talked about some of these toys. Mm-hmm. I shared that with my boyfriend, and he says you are 100% wrong because he loved those track toys. What was it?
But he must have had more than 4 feet. Like, if he enjoyed it with only 4 feet of it, then there's something inherently wrong. You might want to just talk to him about this. I had 4 feet.
He connected more than one. I guess he must have had more. And he was an only child. Mm. So maybe that had to do
it. Spoiled.
And he also talked about his Evel Knievel that he did not nail it to the tree, and he loved it. So we're going to come back to the safety issue. But Lori, what were your favorite toys?
Well, as a tomboy, you would think it would be something a little more, I don't know.
Boy.
I was all about the Barbie.
Really? Yeah. How many all Barbies did you have?
Oh, a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they different Barbies?
They weren't different.
They were all
the same. It was Barbie and Skipper and Ken. Who else were there?
Well, no, I just had multiples of them.
Right, why?
Did the like one head spin around or something? Because you have
to
have
to play with each other.
Different outfits. You get different outfits and scenarios with each one.
That's right.
I've got your back, Lori. I've got your back.
Thank you.
I'm not jumping on this bus. This is you have
I'm sorry. Wait. Did you have more than one car for your track? Ooh.
Well, yes, because they actually,
yes,
they
you did.
Looked different.
And so the Barbies did too.
No, they didn't. Had different. They look, they look exactly as a blonde.
You have not seen these outfits because you do different hair, outfits. You have different shoes, toppers, different. Oh my gosh.
What did you get them all together and they just make fun of each other and are catty to each other? Is that
this is
that,
not Mean Girls?
Okay. Mean Girls. You can't sit with us.
No, but the one I really other than the skipper, which we've talked about,
the grow up skipper with the boobs.
Oh God. In case someone has not heard that episode, please explain.
Oh. What's Grow Up Skipper?
Grow Up Skipper was the...
which is horrifying,
sister,
Lori.
Sister, right. Barbie's sister. You did a rotation of her arm in whichever direction. If you went
backwards, the tits come out.
Yeah, if you went clockwise...
That's counter.
Oh, that's counter? Whatever.
He's just messing with you. That part's not as important as the result.
Right. So you twisted her arm in one direction and her breasts grew. If you twisted it in the opposite direction... They went back inside.
Oh my God.
Where the hell were Barbie and Skipper's parents in all of this? That's what I want to know. Where were their guardians, their parents? What was the narrative behind this? Like they just...
She was grow up Skipper. She grew up.
Where's Skipper's parents? Did they just blow out of town or something?
Charlie Brown's parents.
Or yeah. There was a Barbie trailer. There's a truck. They jumped in that and they rolled away.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I had the townhouse.
Oh, I loved that. I wanted the townhouse so bad.
I had the bus. I had all the accessories. I was all about
Barbie. Did Barbie's. You have Barbie law school?
I did not have Barbie law. But I had the big Barbie head where I would do her makeup. And
which
her
multiple people have talked to me about. This thing to bring up is that I don't think they used to sell the clothes separate. So you had to get a new Barbie with the new dress, right? Or could you get like wardrobe?
Maybe that's why I had so many Barbies.
Because that's what made them different in the beginning is that you had to go buy the whole brand new Barbie to get short skirt Barbie.
And I'm not judging. But
yes,
I'm
yes you are, but you're going to pretend.
maybe the family member just had a continual lack of imagination. Get her a Barbie. It'll be fine. She seems to love the Barbies. That's fine. Just
Barbie.
Throw another one at her.
She was okay with that. Okay.
Like you got them stacked like cordwood in this.
But it's good to have a backup because when you cut one's hair, then you have hair on the other one.
If you have friends come over, you got to have more enough Barbies for people to play with.
Okay.
There was must have had a lot of friends. I didn't have any friends. Wait a minute. Other than Barbies, were there other toys? Like Barbies came sort of late. Like, did you have like kid toys?
They didn't come late for me.
No, they were the 70s. Was it late 60s, early 70s? Okay. Yeah.
So you had Barbies all the way through. I didn't have a
Barbie all the way. It was Barbie or we were pushed outside to play and we had water fights all the time. You know what we used to do? Our mothers would get so mad at us. We'd go into the kitchen and we'd get the pots and pans and the Tupperware.
And just throw water on each other? Okay, that's not a toy. Or a game.
No, but that was like how we played.
He looked it up. What year was Barbie?
59.
Holy shit.
Yeah. See?
Okay. You're all ahead of me. Courtney, what were your favorite toys or games or anything?
Okay. So I spent part of my childhood in England. So like Lori, I was often sent, go out and play, come back when it's dark. And I would habitually steal my mom's strainer because we would go, we lived on this little strip of water and we'd go like catch minnows and run around and go out in our little dinghies and tell ghost stories under these bridges. Outside was, or take your bikes and ride around. It was just really fun outside. But one of the games I really liked was this. There's a lot of them. I loved Light Bright. I don't know why.
Yes, I loved
Light Bright. Courtney loves Light Bright. That can be like on my tombstone. I don't know why. I just thought it was really creative and it was such a fun thing to do. I don't know. And then the other thing I really liked was this. I know people had Atari and you played Pong or whatever, but I love this thing called Simon, which I don't know if it's a British thing, but I got it when I was in England. And so Simon is this game where it's just four squares of color on this round disc and it lights up and you have to repeat the pattern. Boop, you can do it by yourself or you can with other people. So it was great because it was something you could do on your own as well. And I loved that game, which made me, I think, very good at drinking games later on because you have to keep a pattern like whale's tails and things like that, right? All those funky games you have to keep track of like who's what number and blah, blah, blah. I think that really prepared me well for college.
That's why I sucked at that.
I thought we only played quarters.
Quarters was high school.
Yeah, we were hardcore in college. We played
Tails score a game to my left. Yay, Tuhu.
Okay, I don't know what you just said.
I don't know.
That's the whole thing. It's like a nonsense game. But you're counting the people and it transfers around for each person. Hey, listeners out there, if you're about Whale's Tales, give me some props in the feedback section. Because hello, it's the best game ever.
That's awesome. So I Lightbright, and Chris will love this. Lightbright's one of the reasons I became a lighting designer.
Hey!
There you go.
Because there was something
really cool.
I'm totally with you because you could make cool shit in the dark and you could do it on your own. Did you use the pre-done kits or did you make your own?
I started out using the pre-done kits and I felt it was too limiting.
Yes.
So I said, forget about it. And you just got the blank black paper. Yes. And you would just like put in your own design and that was really fun.
Yes. They sell Lightbrights. They're packaged different, but they sell the pegs. You can buy a big thing of the pegs. Oh, yeah. Oh. Talk to me about that.
How old were you when Lightbright came out?
I don't even remember, but I was young.
I'm like 5 or 6.
I think,
kindergarten toy.
But I did it all the way through. I'm with you with the Lightbright for sure. I would still play with it at 51 right now. You mentioned Atari. So you were an Atari house as opposed to...
We were a late Atari house.
And
it was like the kids that would come over to play it. Like it was just Pong. Like it was just...
It was
donk,
Pong.
Donk.
And it was like 5 seconds.
And then you'd speed it up and it'd be like, donk, 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 donk.
That was the Pong, which was the only, just Pong. But then they had the Atari 2600 where you had the little cartridges that would go in there. There was probably about 6 that were worthwhile.
That's there was also Space Invaders and you could get Space Invaders after the arcade.
Asteroids.
Asteroids. Yep. What were the other?
Man. Centipede.
Frogger.
Okay. Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man?
Both.
Pac-Man.
Did you guys play arcade and home?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It was like
arcades. Arcades were more fun and it was social.
Total arcade.
Yep. It'd go like whatever quarters that mom found down in the laundry room.
Went to arcades.
Yeah. You go and swipe all those and then go to the arcade. So it'd take a half hour to walk there probably and crossing roads that we were not supposed to cross, by the way.
Like the safety.
Yep. All the half hour there through the snow. And then you had about 12 minutes of play before you ran out of money.
Oh, so because my next question was your high score, because you could some people no, can I mean, make a quarter it, last a long time.
And then, but then it doesn't. I mean, you would have to invest enough money to get good. It's like anything. It's like you have to invest the time and the money to get good at it. You don't come out of the womb just being very good at Centipede.
And then you'd watch your friends play. So like there'd be one in the friend group that would be good at certain games. And so you'd watch them play and cheer them on. But Eve, I feel like there's a story you've shared before or you've told us offline about you in a high score with something.
I was in grad school when it happened. I was assisting on a show off Broadway called The Cryptogram by David Mamet. And Chris will know our lighting teacher was the designer of the show at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So this was, I think, a year after I graduated with my MFA and take the show to off Broadway. And then he came into previews. And so I got to work with David Mamet, who was terrifying. I mean, he was lovely, but I didn't know that. And so in breaks, I had one of those old bricks, a PowerBook 140 or something like that. And it had Tetris on it. And in the breaks, David Mamet played Tetris on my computer and got the high score.
No way.
Way. I don't even know why I got rid of that computer because literally it says D-Mamet.
That's hilarious.
But
if only you could have screenshot back then, right?
You know, right? Or just kept the damn thing. But I just didn't. Did you all play Tetris or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
College. I feel like it was college.
It was out of college. I think wasn't Tetris invented by somebody out of Russia, I believe.
I'm sure. Probably stole all of our passwords.
Or Scandinavia, I think it was. But I remember playing it a little bit. Our prop person at Letterman had an office downstairs, one floor below. So when I go down and we just sort of talk sometimes and watch the show, she had one of those little Game Boy versions of it. So that was like 95.
Wait, I need to circle back to David Mamet. Does he speak in the staccato that he writes?
Not only does he speak in the staccato, but the cool part about Mamet, when he writes the ums and the ers in the script. And if you don't perform it exactly right, he will watch you and make you do it. Because the cast was Felicity Huffman, Ed Begley Jr., and a kid.
Wow.
Kids in therapy now.
Right? I'm sure he is. And if they got an off, they'd go back to the very beginning. But again, he'd also just found God. So he was nicer. Like if I had gotten him in the Glengarry Glen Ross years, I think I would have been fucked. But I got him in Cryptogram.
Mamet found God.
Yeah, he did. He found God and then he got married and then he had babies and then he got the high score on my power. Oh,
Eve, that's so cool.
But I didn't have a whole lot of games. I mean, I think that all of your games
sound like you grew up in some like
Men and
I didn't have friends. Yeah, I didn't have.
She was on a commune, and they had to share one Barbie with 50 people.
I couldn't wear jeans.
Yeah,
I made a list.
You went to snow both ways,
barefoot. You went to a fancy. You went to a fancy school,
right?
I did.
Give me a break.
I did. I made a list. Okay, I made a list because I knew I'd forget. I made a list of games that I did have that I loved. We talked about Atari. We had Intellivision. Some reason we weren't in Atari.
They had a better football game, I think.
Right, and I would play football and tennis with my father. I remember my dad was one of those early adopters, so he had a big screen TV in the basement before anyone else did, because he probably got it off of a bus.
No toys, but a big ass TV.
Just a big TV.
In a game room. She had a game room before they were called game rooms.
Yeah.
It was his man cave, but I played in it. So Pitfall was...
Sure.
Was it? Oh, you don't remember Pitfall, or
I remember it.
Yeah, he remembers it. So Pitfall was, I think, must have started as an Intellivision game. And it's the guy swinging the rope and he has to jump over the different things. You like to get the frog crushed on the road for Frogger.
That's
Pitfall.
Kind of like
you run and then you have to catch. But he's just, he has a little hat. He has a little Indiana Jones look to him. But that was Pitfall. Legos. Who had Legos? Yeah. So Lori, you were the tomboy, but you had the Barbies. I think I had the tomboy toys.
Isn't that weird?
So because I had Legos, which I loved. My mother washed them once and they were never the same. If you ever wash Legos, don't do it. Don't even, because the water gets into the little nooks and crannies and then they never stick together. I don't know why she washed them, but she washed my Legos. And then subsequently they got thrown out, which was just a sin. Lincoln Logs. Anyone else?
Those.
Did you build stuff? What did you build with Lincoln Logs?
You could build a log cabin.
I was going to say a log cabin, right?
You could build houses.
A building.
Yeah, build a building.
They're very, not a lot of range, those. I mentioned before where like you use something once is really taking toys as after the first or second time that you use them and then turning them into something else. Remember those little Fisher Price little
minifigs.
So you can have sort of almost cross species narratives going on. You got your G.I. Joe and your little Fisher Price things. And then you would like just like start building stuff out of whatever, because it's like, how many times can you build a log cabin?
Yeah, but you're a set designer. So you can tell where the root of his profession game, because he kept making different things out of stuff, which is kind of awesome.
There was a game called Gunfight at the OK Corral. Now, and this can lead into unsafe toys. Premise of it was you had two guns on either side that shot these little pellets.
Ooh.
And then the idea was that you would try to shoot your other, it's like a little plastic figure. Now the space between the guns is probably at the most 24 inches. So after about 20 minutes of doing that, what are you going to do?
You're going to shoot yourself in the eye.
Shooting your brothers and sisters with it. And that's what inevitably happened. It's just like, well, we're just going to take this. Instead of making something out of Legos, I'm going to make a brick out of it and throw it at my brother.
Did you have Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
You guys were brutal.
I think
we
family.
Were three boys. That's what happened. Yeah, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, those were fun. Mousetrap was until you lost that one goddamn piece. And then suddenly it doesn't work anymore, does it?
Mousetrap. I love that.
And but there was, what is the piece that he lost?
Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Remember
yes.
that one?
That was lame. Here's another thing. It's lame, and I can tell you this because we bought it for our nieces and nephews. That toy is so goddamn loud. The first thing you want to do
is jump.
You let him play it, and then it just magically breaks, and you can't find it anymore.
But Courtney, Abby was telling me that she had a lot of games where they started putting the dice in the middle with a push button because the dice kept getting lost. So you push it, and it would change. I didn't realize.
Sorry was one of the most famous ones with that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was because they got lost. I just thought it was just, it's a cool way to put your dice in the middle thing, and then you just push the button, and it goes. And then you get your roll.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that was
that was cool.
Okay. Why did you like Sorry and you didn't like everything else?
No, it was Trouble. Was it Sorry or Trouble?
Trouble. It's probably, I don't know.
But it had the thingy in the middle.
Right.
But
yeah, just like the dice, the game was dumb.
Okay.
It's like the...
So, you know why? You know why? Because it's a one-use game. Chris couldn't take it in and do different things with it. But I could totally appreciate.
I'd like to take things apart and see what's going on.
There you go. See?
Yeah. Did anyone else have an Easy Bake Oven?
Yeah.
But
it's not a game.
No,
yeah.
I know it's not a game, but it was an activity. And I would imagine if Chris, for whatever reason, had one in his household, he would have taken it apart and built something else with it.
Sticking those little green army men in there.
And melt them.
Yeah. But it would take like a year to melt them with the light bulb.
Yeah, it was a 100-watt bulb.
Did you have those army men?
I'm sure everybody had those things. And they...
How long did they last?
Not long. They got chewed up by lawnmowers, just smashed up and blown up.
How many
up
times
and,
did you step on those things?
That's right. Oh, Jax.
Oh, Jax. Yeah.
Oh,
I remember Jax.
That was fun. It,
what, did you guys grow up in 1953?
You didn't play Jax?
I played Jax.
Jax is an easy like game to like just
Jax for hours.
Dunk. But you'd always get the little ball that came with the Jax always had like a flat side to it. Do you guys ever have that?
No.
So you throw the ball down and it hit that one little flat and go sideways on you. It wasn't like, it was not a good, there was not a lot of quality control with the Jax, and they got suckier. I don't know if you've had a chance to look back at some of these toys that were, everybody had like pickup sticks and all these, the barrel monkeys. Yeah. They were well made when we were kids. They were using real materials, were metal things. Now it's like the barrel monkeys are crap. They're just all junk, and the Jax are like made out of plastic and they break and the ball's terrible. And
I'm curious how barrel monkeys are made now.
I have nieces and nephews, and there's a period of time where you were required as an aunt and an uncle to have a toy chest because there's only so much entertaining that you can do to a 5 to 7 year old.
So who knew that the toys and games episode would be Chris's get off my lawn episode? Yeah,
exactly. Really is.
I got tons of notes here.
Okay.
Dumb idea.
Okay, so there it is, toys and games, right? I just have this memory of like, there's a lot of Snoopy themed toys growing up, right, games and whatever. But I just remember two things. One was like a Snoopy snow cone thing.
Oh,
like,
yes.
You had to like turn it and shave your little ice cube. It took forever. Like you get taut, your arm would get sore just trying to make one. Eventually you just take it and a hammer and smash it. But this other thing I had, and I think this speaks to like this other activity. So it was like an elongated Snoopy that had that canvas material, and it came with the felt tip pen, and you would get people's autographs. Did anyone else have like these stuffed animals that you'd have your friends sign? Looking back at it, it seems so bizarre. You're signing a dog. Like, what's up with that?
Chris would throw it against the wall. I mean,
well, no, I wasn't.
Or nail it to a tree.
You're not understanding that there's a certain amount of things that you can only do with these, and then you have to think of something interesting.
Wait. Do you remember the clackers? The glass balls that would clack together?
Those are terrible.
Clack, 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 clack.
You get them from one-armed carnies at those traveling shows.
I think she would hide them because
they're horrible.
Clack, 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 clack would make her. And I remember her saying, "You're going to poke your eye out." Blah, 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 blah.
I'm curious, maybe because I was a geek, I had a bunch of computer-ish toys. Anyone have 2XL?
What's that?
It was a learning toy, but it looked like a little robot. And I think he had a little slot that you could put stuff in. I don't even remember. Yeah, I loved my 2XL. I don't know why, because he was sort of like a toy, but he was sort of like a gaming thing. Or
were these like educational things?
It must have been.
Your parents were actually investing in your future. You were told that, like, here's a rock, just try not to kill your brother with it. So.
And I'm an only, so I had nobody to kill. I will admit that my parents catered to me in a lot of ways because I had a little tile area in my bedroom for Jax.
Christ. Don't tell me about how you didn't have toys and how hard it was for you. And
I had a tile area for Jax.
Please don't do that. Please do not do that anymore.
And it wasn't even marble. It was regular porcelain tile.
No. It was cheap tile. And this is even better. It was cheap tile, and the rest of the floor was green shag carpet.
Oh, perfect. That just for the Jax to disappear into.
Yeah. And then they bounce off.
Yeah. And then when whoever comes in the vacuum, you just hear the entire motor just being destroyed by a piece of aluminum.
Or somebody steps out and goes, yeah. The one thing I do remember, and I know they still make this, is Spirograph. Did anyone?
Yes.
Those are cool.
Thank you.
Shoot. The pens.
Shoot.
The pens were terrible. And then you'd like be, well, I'll just use some.
Chris, shut the fuck up. No, stop. Stop. Three of us loved our Spirographs. I'm sorry you hated everything about it, but I'm going to stand up for Spirographs. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
You can hate it. I don't care, but I'm going to stand up for a moment.
He likes it. He just hates
the
pens.
I loved it. The pen
he likes it. But I'm standing up for the Spirograph. I'm still stuck on the one-armed carny. I feel like that was Eve's babysitter or something. Like, I just did a horrific childhood memories.
Did you replace the pens? What did you replace them with?
They didn't sell them like it, whatever they had
like
back then.
Art supply stores or even like toy stores.
No, because if you remember, they were really skinny pens and they had very long points to them. So you try to jam a Bic in there, which has sort of a too short, tapered kind of thing, and it wouldn't work.
Just take the Bic thing out of the plastic. It was no, super
it still,
easy.
It still didn't work because it had a cone to it as opposed to a point to it. You're looking around for a crappy pen. You're going through drawers because, I mean, sorry, it's Spirograph with like one color. Look, I can do black. There's a black. You know, the fun was like, you had,
look at Laura. You had red, Courtney's like, what the
you
fuck?
You had green, you had black, and what was the other one? There was four colors.
Is this like, was this a Chicago blue thing? Like the Chicago Spirograph sucked. Like I had we had no problem. We used other pens, felt tip, whatever. We took the Bic out of the thing.
So it was felt just tip a thing. Smeared.
You can't,
no,
yeah.
Felt it was smeared. You needed the
He is right. Felt up smeared.
But it created a different look, people.
Right. You can get them now. They're teeny tiny. You can get like a little travel one. They still make Spirographs.
What?
There's a travel Spirograph.
Well, that's just stupid.
Yeah, I agree with Chris on this.
Yeah. We're going to Venice. You don't want to go and take in the sights? Nope. I'm going to sit here and Spirograph.
With my teeny tiny Spirograph.
That's just stupid.
It's for the Smurfs. It's Spirograph for the Smurfs, right?
It's for the plane, you guys.
I think it's for the plane.
They have entertainment systems on the plane. Just load up on the Lord of the Rings. 9 hours, you're there.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're going to move on. Stuffed animals? Anybody with stuffed animals?
Well, when I was very young, I had a giant giraffe. This is before my younger brother and my younger sister around. Again, came from my grandmother, and I was forced to take naps. It was like, you will take a nap because you're under five. I decided to empty the little beads out of the giant. I think it was a giraffe or whatever. So yeah, there was beads all over the place.
I would hate to have been your parents because everything you do, you take apart.
Yeah, and usually wreck it, unfortunately.
I have to say, I had a ton of stuffed animals, and I thought that I would have, like, when I grew up, those stuffed animals would become real dogs because I would have a whole bed of dogs. And Lori will appreciate this because they were all stuffed animal dogs, more or less. But I didn't have a Care Bear. I got a Care Bear at 51. I mean, eventually, I guess it was time to get a Care Bear, and I sleep with it. Because
did you just get a Cabbage Patch doll too?
No, because I refuse. This is the time that we talk about things that are just fucking creepy. And that was fucking creepy.
Cabbage Patch was creepy?
Yeah.
What creeped you out? Were they like gremlins to you? What was the deal?
Oh, that was creepy.
They were ugly. They were just weird and ugly. But I never got into it. I mean, it sounds like if you're defending the Cabbage Patch, did you guys get into the craze? No, she didn't. Oh, okay. But no, don't defend them.
Expensive. Well, you guys
we're just
talking,
asking.
You guys just continue on. I'm going to just excuse myself.
No Care Bears. Any other toys that freaked you out?
Okay. So when I was growing up, lived on a cul-de-sac.
Fancy.
I had special tile just for my jet.
Right. Shut up.
But my neighbor's mom would have these dolls.
Uh-oh.
Not play dolls, but dolls that people use to decorate their houses.
Dolls? Quote.
They scared the
Wait, who
shit
are these?
Out of me.
Who are these people that use dolls as decoration points?
This woman, okay. My friend's mom. They were porcelain dolls.
That it was Madam something. I remember they had these beautiful faces and they were like very heavy and very expensive.
She had like little rocking chairs next to the fireplace that had dolls on them. And then she had
I don't know that it's the dolls problem that creeped you out. Madam Alexander.
That's exactly Madam Alexander. So the Madam Alexander setups were disturbing.
It was.
This must have been like the Beanie Babies of the 70s or something. Yeah.
Did anyone have Weebles?
Yes.
Weebles wobble and they don't fall down. And then you had like the tree that like the canopy came over. And then if you popped it up, they lived in the tree.
Yes.
I love that thing. I love the Weebles. I don't know why.
But they inherently unstable. Like
the whole point.
No, they were not unstable.
They kept wobbling all over the
place. But they never fell down.
You could get them to fall down.
Well, of course, you and your brothers.
Take a belt sander to one side and it'll be fine. Knock that somebody
or nail
right
it to the floor and it's never going to come back up. Jesus. You just
destroyed everything.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Chris.
I remember them. Yeah. My sister had.
And the little tree house was so cute. Because you could shove everything in and then pull down the canopy and then you'd like put it away. It looked tidy. It had a little elevator, had a little string.
We may have been too old for this. Remember Furbies?
I remember
that
Furbies.
That sounds dirty.
I'm a little confused, Steve.
Furby was this toy that had like AI a little bit in it and it was automated.
Oh, we are way too old for that.
Oh, no. That was, that's the aughts or something, right?
When I saw a Furby, I was like, what has become of toys that is now a toy for a child? But that brings us to dangerous toys.
So, Chris, everything produced from about 1950,
big wheels,
yeah, 1880 to about now.
What, you shouldn't have a nail?
So is your issue that they provided toys without any safety warnings, or that they shouldn't have provided toys like the things where you shoot in each other's faces, or
guns, BB guns? Yeah. Right, like here's a thing that's gonna shoot something at you. Go right for it.
We've even talked about lawn darts. It's, you know, I'm not gonna turn this into like the ubiquitous guy at the Funny Bone down off of I-95 doing a whole set on lawn darts, but they would give you chemistry sets. These were not, you pick up the little things, so, well, you can do this little things, and then you got alkalides and then sulfur, and over here is sulfuric acid. When I pour all of these things into one bottle, not good. And then we had like a Rector set. So it's steel. You got these little things and you're getting, what do they call that? Tetanus from it.
Yeah. Okay, you always sliced a hand on a Rector set. Something split or broke, or the edges wasn't rounded. Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Okay. The old ones are really like just.
Yeah. I remember that.
Buckets. We also used to make toy rockets. Oh. And there was a rocket company called, they're probably still around, called Estes. And you could buy a little rocket for about $12, and you could buy 3 rocket engines. And they had different things, like from an A, I always remember buying, the number was C65. And you'd shoot the rocket, because we live next to a big field, so you just shoot those up. And that was fun for a while. And then you're like, well, let's make bottle rockets out of these rocket engines. So that didn't go well.
Did anyone get hurt?
Well, no.
We
did get into a lot of trouble. Because what we did is we took one of those rocket engines and we put it on a dowel rod. And I think I was about 11. Oh, yes. And then we put a firecracker on the top of that and we shot it. And it just sort of went up about, I don't know, 10 feet and then shot across to the neighbor's house and blew up under the car. So we got in a little trouble for that.
Just a little trouble. I guess because you do. Trouble.
When that happens when you're a kid, the first thing you do is panic. Yeah. And you run. Yeah. And if you live in the Midwest, there's basements. So you go as low as you can. Find the corner of the basement until you hear your friend's mom screaming at you to get up here because the neighbors are pissed off because you almost blew up their car.
Oh my God.
But, yeah. Like, it was just like there was no safety considerations behind anything.
So did anyone have a big wheel?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I loved the big wheel, but my husband tells me stories, and this will speak to Chris's whole thing, where he was one of 3 boys and across the street were like 5 boys, and would make, in honor of Chris, Evel Knievel style, like jumps and things in the street.
Oh God.
And they would ride the big wheels because they were on a slight incline and like try to jump over each other, objects, you know, skid through the things. And then everything would be cleared if a car came, and they put it back out and they keep going. And 2 of the boys across the street broke arms or broke a foot or something. And they just kept going. Yep. They just kept going. They're like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Yeah, they keep going.
8 to 10 year olds don't have a really good understanding of basic engineering skills. So
or safety.
Yeah, the ramp was usually like a piece of 1/4-inch plywood that's been left out behind the garage for, I don't know, 3 years. So it has
with a nail in it.
Yeah. And then you found a couple pieces of the things, and like a couple of 2x4s. So you'd race with your big wheel or your bike at the time, and you'd hit the front of the ramp, and the ramp would immediately collapse. Or if you actually did get airborne, you get airborne, lose your balance, usually on a bike, and then end up hitting a flat, like a light post out in front of somebody's house. And then, like I said before, the first thing that you do when that happens is everybody runs away.
Yeah, split.
Because some kid's screaming and then with his head busted open.
And you leave him alone to bleed.
Like, I don't know first aid. Okay, I'm running.
Okay. I'm reading some of the people that dropped notes.
Yeah, we had some notes from our Facebook group and people had lots of stories.
This gal, Kim, do you guys remember Hoppity Hop?
Oh, talk about falling on your head.
No, they were hippity hops.
And you bounced on it till you fall on your head.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I grew up in a place where there wasn't stucco houses.
Oh.
Because inevitably with the hippity hop, you'd be hipping and hipping and hipping, and then you'd go sideways and you'd hit the side of the house. We had aluminum siding, so thankfully it just left an impression of my head on the side of the house. Whereas if you lived in California or Arizona, you would end up with just this giant rash as you slammed your prepubescent head
stucco wall. Is this a pogo stick, a glorified pogo stick?
It's just a big ball with a handle.
Okay. Okay.
And you just bounce on it pretty much until you fall over.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Or until you knock your brother or your friends.
Okay. Lori has a prop.
My mom just found this.
Your speak and spell.
It's the speak and spell. Oh, there's no battery in it.
Oh my God. I wish
so cool.
I'm so tempted. I have some batteries.
Put a battery in it. See if that works.
Existentialism. Verisimilitude.
She said this was mine. And I thought this was my brother's, but I think it was mine.
Just take it. It's yours. Yeah.
Take it. It's yours now. Exactly. It's yours. And you got to tell us if it actually works. Because that is vintage, baby.
Did anybody have a wood burning kit?
Yes.
Yeah, that was smart to give a 7-year-old, right?
But I never burned anything except myself. I did burn myself.
Wood burning fun for the whole family. It's like, not really. I mean, how many people do you think said, what do we want to do Saturday, kids?
We're going to burn
stuff with our wood burning kit. So burn your initials into a board. Matches? And that was
it. Is that your kit?
No, it was a gun.
Like a hot iron. Soldering iron with a little tip on it. And you would burn your initials in the thing. And then
that's so bad.
And you have to remember to unplug it, because if you put it down and you didn't think about it, it would start a fire.
I want to bring up Rita. She had some Shrinky Dinks.
Yeah. Oh, talk about burning up things in the oven.
And color forms, she said.
Color forms were cool. Yeah.
Those are awesome.
I remember Shrinky Dinks.
Shrinky Dinks. You can still make, they actually still have Shrinky Dinks. And I did them like a couple years ago. Well, maybe 5 years ago at my agency. Shrinky Dinks were awesome, but you had to be careful, because if you touched them when they came out of the oven, they're fucking hot.
Well, and they would melt weird because you touched them, you ruined them.
And your thumbprints on them.
Do you think the tell about all of that is that you put them into an oven?
But yet, and then you got to watch them, and they got very small and they got very thick.
And here's another thing. I don't know if this is a good idea for the kids to be turning the light on in front of the oven when you have you're burning plastic and all the carcinogens coming out. Let's burn some PVC. That'll be good for the kids.
And then cook meatloaf. Lines.
Home oven. Yeah.
Right. And then make mac and cheese and meatloaf later that night.
During the pandemic. I was building a model that I started with
PVC or?
Well, no, it's a model. I'm trying to think of the way I can say this without giving up too much information. I started building a model with, I'll just say my cousin, and she's a child. And because we couldn't do anything during pandemic, and it's a cute little model. It's like this little outdoor garden. It's really hard. But since the pandemic happened, I'm like, I had nothing to do for 2 weeks, and I got tired of staring at the walls. So I got some the plasticine clay.
Oh, yes.
I started making little plants out of it. And it was unbelievably rewarding, but I would throw those in our little toaster oven. And then I eventually had to stop because
the clay hardens, but it also destroys your oven.
I just saw here that Carrie Hain.
Oh my God. How did we not talk about a Rubik's Cube?
Yeah, it's huge.
Did you get bored with the Rubik's Cube too, Chris?
Well, I knew how to take it apart.
Of course you did.
So you could just, all you had to do is just crack it the right way and you could put it back together. I solved it once.
Okay.
I was going to say, did anybody ever solve it? Once. I don't think I ever solved it.
How about you, Courtney? Did you ever solve it? You were the one who solved it. You got the book.
Look at her. She's looking. You solved it, didn't you? Courtney solved it.
Once or twice. Maybe once or twice.
You did more.
That's probably like 10.
Yeah.
She is being very modest.
It's all about the corners, right? You have to do the corners first.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was one of these things where the Rubik's Cubes now, they have them with, it's not just the 6 per side. They're bigger.
Yeah, they're bigger.
Oh, man.
Oh, forget it.
No.
Yeah. You can take those apart too. You can also take the stickers off or just buy new stickers.
That's one way to do it, is just redo the stickers.
Get some colored tape. So
That's MacGyver.
Have you seen those kids that can do it in 10 seconds?
Yeah, it's very fast.
That's crazy. Really annoying.
Yeah,
it's super annoying.
Yeah,
I bet you that doesn't come up when they're in college on a first date.
No, I can
wait a date.
Right, and if it ever does,
tell me something about yourself. Funny, interesting story.
It gives a whole new meaning to speed dating. Who can do it the fastest gets the girl,
or not,
or vice versa.
There was always those. Like the toy or the object that was hot. Yeah. And they'd always, it was almost like the same kind of ubiquitous local news thing that they'd show right on the night before tax day, where it's the same guy every year going, oh, we're just waiting, counting down until tax time. It's, you only got an hour to do it. They do the same thing with like, you can't get this year. You can't get this year, whatever it was. Care Bears. I don't know.
Tickle Me Elmo. The Tickle Me Elmo. There was a run. There was a run
what they went through for Tickle Me Elmo for my goddaughter. Sweet baby Jesus. Lord have mercy.
They would just create like these events like they did. That is particularly after video games is where it'd be like, you could be the world's best whatever player. And it was just nothing but a marketing toy where they'd have like Rubik's Cube. You go to the local mall on Sunday, there'd be who's the local who can do the Rubik's Cube the fastest. And I just hope that the folks that sort of were really that wasn't the high point. That wasn't their high.
It didn't peak at 10.
That wasn't their Everest. Is that there was more better things to come because there wasn't a lot of future in that.
And they probably did our operating systems here today.
Exactly. That's probably very true. They designed iOS.
They're all working at Google. And
You bring up a good point that some basic games like chess, checkers. Sure.
Well, it's a couple thousand years old, isn't it? Both of them.
Right. But did anyone play them? I played both. Yeah. How about Othello? Somebody brought up, John Horn brought up Othello.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that one.
Because so that one didn't bore you, Chris, because you could flip the different things.
Yeah, there's some strategy
to it. Othello was the one that was the star, right?
No,
that's Chinese checkers. Yes. I don't know if we can say that anymore.
Right. Oh, Monopoly. Oh,
that's still a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's still being played.
But the thing is, I like games that have a certain expectation of an ending is that I don't want to be locked into this for 5 fucking hours.
You will be in Monopoly. You can be.
It can go.
Yeah.
And you can just give up and just like, I don't care anymore. Like after 2 hours.
But it's still out there. What about Trivial Pursuit? I mean,
they're smart. They're smart because they keep coming up with new categories, new versions.
Same board, same pieces.
Right.
I love playing with the young kids and playing like the 80s version. 80s and just version? Kicking their ass aside. Sideways. Just smiting them
That's
with
the
their
cool
ignorance.
Thing. Yeah. You could like pick which flavor you want and they don't know any different and all the goddamn answers. Yeah.
Listen, I don't know anything about Billie Eilish, but I know a lot about
Billy Idol.
Watergate.
Did you guys have Sit and Spin?
Oh, yes. Spin. Yes. They are still around.
Some kids go when they sit and spin.
He knows the song.
Yes,
who got hurt on a sit and spin?
Who vomited on a sit and spin?
I don't remember that.
That's not good for your inner ear. It's not good for balance, right? Do you remember, like, if you just sat in went in the backyard and put your arms out and spun around, you'd fall over and throw up. Oh, that's awesome.
Battleship
was fun.
Ish.
Yeah. All right.
Let's be realistic. How many times did each of you play Battleship? Like in your lifetime? I bet you it's less than 10.
I needed someone to play with because I was an only child and I didn't.
Oh,
shut up.
You could have played yourself.
That's so not fun.
Right.
It was so hard.
Y'all are tough.
In that room with the tile for the Jacks.
We're going to.
Hey, Lori, she had tile and carpeting so she could stay warm on the shag. On those cold winter nights by herself.
On the tile.
Mm-hmm. Just pile on Eve right here.
Yep.
It's my turn. I understand. It's my turn to have the pile on.
Everybody takes a bullet at some point. Yeah.
I will take it. You mentioned erector sets.
Yes.
Okay. I had that, but one litter makes the difference when you're talking about them.
Yes.
And for some reason, I have this strong memory of being in the car, only child, in the back seat. My parents are in the front. And somehow I'm just talking about my erection set.
Also, but it could still be appropriate, right?
Not for the age that I was. And I saw my parents look at each other and go,
If you use
what?
It still could work.
It is a different use case for an erector set versus an erection set.
And do you want to know? I didn't even notice that's what it said in the notes. I thought in my head I saw
erector set. I guess when I learned what that meant, then suddenly it flashed back saying, oh shit. And I was horrified about what I said as a kid because I was like, look, I made an erection set and it's really cool. And look, this erection set really did this. And my parents were like, what the fuck, man?
Stop saying that word.
Have you guys ever, and they do this every year and usually hear it like on morning radio or drive or whatever, but there's a toy hall of fame. And I guess there's some governing body that they nominate and then they put toys into the hall of fame. I had hoped this must have been like the first year they had the toy hall of fame, but I remember they're saying the ball made it into the toy hall of fame.
Oh, what?
the ball.
Super Bowls were cool.
We were in San Francisco and we found the second steepest street. We were doing the Letterman show. And in the entire show, we threw things down the street. We threw melons. We threw bowling balls, basketballs, and we threw Super Balls. Those Super Balls went all the way down to the bay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you littered the bay. Nice.
Did they bounce or did they roll?
Once the first they hit something, they're just going to start going. And it was actually quite beautiful. Like there's a certain kind of kinetic beauty to it.
Forgot about Etch-A-Sketch.
I loved Etch-A-Sketch.
It was the best way to draw stairs.
Did you draw anything else other than the stairs on the Etch-A-Sketch?
Right. Any of the four of us, did you ever make it to a circle? Anyone?
Of course not.
Courtney?
No.
No. I didn't really do Etch-A-Sketch. So.
What? Okay.
You couldn't do a circle and Etch-A-Sketch?
No, I mean, I didn't have an Etch-A-Sketch.
Wait,
really? You didn't have an Etch-A-Sketch?
Wow. No, I played with it at other people's houses, but that's one toy I didn't have.
Okay. Well,
that's what you're getting for Christmas.
That's right. Everyone gets an Etch-A-Sketch and Lori's going to write their name on it.
Oh my God. We can play the drinking game and try to make a circle on Etch-A-Sketch. I think that's going to be an episode.
We're just going to like see what the fuck happens with some alcohol and some toys.
I'll say about this, having had to purchase toys as a parent, that what I noticed is that some of the classic toys that I grew up with and my husband grew up with are still available, slightly different. And I think as Chris pointed out earlier, not always to the same like durability as one would expect, but like the Fisher Price little farm that it came with the barn and all that stuff, like that's still there. And then there was this little tiny plastic record player.
Yes.
And it had little, and I don't remember what that was. But
the grooves, it had grooves.
Yeah. So they still have that. But the thing that I noticed is like something like a sit and spin, which, okay, so roller coasters, I don't love, but spinny coaster kind of things I love. So the sit and spin was great for me. I never vomited. I love that stuff.
Never vomited.
I would go on it any day. So I think, oh my gosh, I'll get that. That'd be great. Well, what's happened is they've altered all the toys that we grew up with to have like bells and whistles and songs and noises and lights.
Oh, right.
So things that we would buy, I was like, dude, we are just never putting the batteries in.
Yeah.
We are never putting the batteries in. And the only time that backfired is like if you went to someone else's house and they had it and they did all the stuff and he'd come home, he's like, why doesn't this one work? And I'm like, it's not supposed to.
You have a special edition.
Yours is better.
The problem is if it had like bells and whistles, like lights and things like that, but you'd have to bust the sumbitch open and cut the little speaker on it.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Or if it actually had a speaker, you just poke that thing and keep poking the cone so it just comes out. Or put black tape over it would work too.
Or not put any batteries in.
Yeah, exactly. We had one of those games that it was the bloop, bloop, and then it would get bloop, 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 bloop. And about 2 hours with my niece and nephew over here playing that thing. Nope. Disappeared. Nope. We don't know where it went.
You remember Teddy Ruxpin was a toy of our youth. I've heard that not only is it still alive, people will put like Ozzy's music in the tape. So instead of doing do, 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 it's like. Rah, rah.
Like, how did you do it?
Rah.
She did it twice. Because I wanted you to hear it.
One of the writers on our show, Conan, developed this thing called Wiki Bear. And it was like a Teddy Ruxpin kind of bear, but it was plugged into Wikipedia. So Conan would put it on the desk and he'd ask it about this, but he would inevitably turn to the dark side. So you'd ask something about like how to make a meatloaf, Wiki Bear, and he would turn it into like a narrative about the Manson murders. It was hilarious.
Okay, that is taking Teddy Ruxpin to the end degree.
It was really, whichever writer came up with it was genius. And the person who voiced it was a great writer and actor, Brian Stacks.
So that he was doing it live? Oh,
and we had
my God.
It was like remote control. Their great special effects person built this little thing and the mouth would move up and down. And he had That's this great. Very like sort of kind of cartoon voice. And it would always go horribly dark. He'd be talking about the Donner Party.
Oh, my God.
It was great.
Planning your next camping trip.
Yes, exactly. It was so funny. Did anybody go through the pandemic? What are we going to do? Let's get some games
yes.
to play and, or like puzzles.
Puzzles.
Those kinds of things. Yeah.
Puzzles were big during the pandemic. How come you didn't do puzzles during the pandemic?
Oh, I do them on my iPad.
No, but these were like real
Wait,
people.
What?
No.
I have it too. It's a game.
What?
I can do puzzles for hours.
But if you do it on your iPad, isn't there just like one of those, I give up and it just makes the picture? No. Is that an option?
No.
Okay. I feel better. Now, is there an option on the iPad to like pound it? the piece in when it doesn't quite fit.
So games on the phone these days are huge, like Words with Friends and Candy something. Did anyone play those games?
If there's like crosswords and things like that are kind of fun. I like those.
What was the one, there's the Angry Birds one. I played that after I was doped up on painkillers after a surgery I had. It was like 2 weeks and I was just watching all of the 30 Rocks and I played it completely whacked on painkillers playing Angry Birds. There's one called Catan.
Yes. Settlers of Catan.
Which is, it's in the same nerd orbit as like Dungeons and Dragons, but not as much of a narrative to it. We played that in the pandemic lockdown.
You were bored.
And stuff.
You were really bored.
And then we also played some train game. I forget what it's called.
And there's a couple others. Twister's still out there.
You can't do that during COVID.
Well, right. I guess unless you're wearing masks.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci, what are the CDC
rules on Twister? So, okay. We've talked a little bit, Chris, about the safety issues around toys. Mm-hmm. As you aged, has that changed or do you still take things apart and hope not to hurt anybody with them?
I've learned some lessons.
Liz, if any of the televisions are put together.
There's another thing that we used to do when we were kids. We would go on garbage night and just go out and see what we could find cool stuff.
Oh, shit. And we could get bikes
and we could build bikes. At 11 years old, I found a television and I'm like, well, this will be cool. I want a television.
I was so kidding and look.
And he found the television in the trash among the raccoons.
No, it wasn't like in garbage. It wasn't like in old food and excrement. It was like sitting at the end of somebody's driveway. I took it home and I'm like, well, I have a screwdriver. I'm sure I can fix this. And I couldn't. But I also found out when you take the back out of these old CRT televisions, there's something called a capacitor. Does anybody know what a capacitor is?
Hey, I saw Back to the Future. I totally know.
A capacitor is something that stores a static charge. So on the old CRTs, what it would do. Wow, I can hear everybody just going clicking this podcast off. But it used to help the old tubes turn on and it stores a charge. So I plugged the TV in and I was poking around with the screwdriver and I knocked that capacitor and I almost burned my eyebrows off because sparks went everywhere. And that's when I stopped.
So what we've learned about this episode is that Chris could play with anything. Anything is a toy.
Tear at a party.
Oh my God. That is it for us this week. Thank you for listening to Gen X Stories. Drop us a note at hello@GenXStories and we may do some more shout outs on a future episode. You can also subscribe to Gen X Stories on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Instagram @GenXStories or join our overgrowing Facebook group. We all have a Gen X story. What's yours?